Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
On a Sunday afternoon.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. I'm excited about Ken Dalecki being back on the show with us. He's with the Kiplinger Editors, and he's going to, as I said earlier, he's sitting in for Joan Pride. And Ken Dalecki, we're glad you're here.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be back with you.
It's good to have you back, as always. And thank you for sitting in for Joan. And Ken, and the letter starts out this week talking about hiring, the fact that Kiplinger believes that, and I think the evidence is clear now that hiring is picking up, that we're making a dent in the unemployment figures, and that's good news, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. And as you know, hiring tends to lag a little bit in economic recovery.
Right.
We've been in a slow economic recovery. And we just haven't had much hiring up to this point. We think that by springtime, hiring will really be clearly evident. As many as 100,000 jobs a month created next spring.
Well, Ken, we've had
it'll ratchet up between now and then.
We've had a pretty unique kind of an employment situation over the last few years that's really exacerbated the tendency of hiring to be a lagging indicator of a recovery. And among the things that have exacerbated that has been the way the marketplace has changed, globalization, the goods goods and services are able to cross borders and oceans a lot more freely now than in the past. And so that's allowing companies to seek goods and services, around the world rather than next door. That's changed the way things are. So many paradigms have shifted in the last 3 to 5 years. That's making this recovery different from others. Also, the impact of 911. We're still feeling that. I mean, I saw the other day. I've forgotten how many thousands of just airline employees had lost their jobs strictly because of 911.
Mm-hmm.
Tens of thousands of airline employees alone.
And I think another thing is a lot of people are working harder, frankly, longer and harder.
We're more
harder.
Productive, aren't we?
Yes, productivity has continued to increase, and so it's taking time to turn the hiring ship around.
Well, and the thing, and here's the rest of the story, though, to me, Ken. When we turn it around and we head back toward, you know, this expansion dock, not even the recovery dock, my experts tell me, Ken, that we're not in a recovery anymore. We're already entering the expansion phase. When we get to that dock, the jobs that are going to be available on that dock are not going to look like the jobs that we left when we left the last dock.
Well, technology continues to affect everybody's job, and people have to continually upgrade their skills. That's one thing that is clearly evident in today's job market.
Mm-hmm. There's no question.
And another thing one of the things that we talk about in our most recent Kiplinger letter is the fact that companies are going to have to get ready for the fact that some of their employees will be looking around when this job market improves.
You know,
and they should be prepared for that and take some steps to keep their best employees.
Ken, we're coming up on our 6th anniversary on this show next month, and I can remember I can remember talking about this when the economy was doing pretty darn good in 97, but then it got better and better. At least we thought it was getting better. Some of the indicators were false indicators, but at least we thought it was better. And I can remember a time 3 years ago when the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas on this show said, we now have full employment in America. Mm-hmm. Anybody who wants a job can have a job. We were bumping
down
around
to 4-something, wasn't it?
We were bumping 4%, and yeah. Even though there was 4% unemployment, his point was those.
Oh, there's always people moving around.
Well, yeah, the people moving around, but also people that didn't want a job. And he said, if you want a job in America, you can have a mm-hmm. job, and that was creating lots of challenges for employers because we were having to do all kinds of gyrations to keep our good employees. And what you guys are pointing out this week, as you said, is that employers need to start looking around and saying, maybe in a year, maybe 2 years, we could be close to that scenario again. And so I need to be doing the things I can right now to make sure that my employees are happy here, my good
You're
employees.
Right. A few years ago, finding good employees was the major complaint that we had with our business readers.
You know, Ken, I used to say you didn't take an application, you took a pulse.
Now it's healthcare costs. That seems to be the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tough time to try to hang on to your good employees if things turn around because the profits of companies have not recovered very strongly because the competition is so strong, as you pointed out,
mm-hmm.
International competition as well as domestic. So. It's tough to gear yourself up to do the things that you may have to do to hold on to your best people.
Well, and one of the things that you guys point out in the letter this week, Ken, on page one there, is that we might want to consider raising salaries. And that's frankly, I don't like that comment myself. but
a little work for you, do.
That's right. But the thing is, though, and I see that you say that the compensation was the number one gripe in the surveys of workers that you had, but I think that to say that and to let that go, which you guys, I know you guys don't do that, but to let that go is to miss the mark because in the 21st century, and as the younger generations come on board, money is important, but it's not as big a deal as it has been to some of the past generations. I mean, where they work, their happiness, having a little bit of flexibility, that's something that's important to these, especially the younger folks, isn't it?
Yeah, that's important, and healthcare is another major benefit that people worry about these days. One of the things
we got to take a quick break.
Sure.
When we come back, folks, I'm going to talk to Ken about how we can use turnover to our advantage. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Ken Dalecki. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. We're back.
And you need a helping hand.
23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Ken Dalecki, Deputy Managing Editor at the Kiplinger Editors. And Ken, we're talking about in this employment situation across the country and how it's not only recovering, but it's evolving. It's changing, folks. It's not the same. This isn't like... You know, Ken, we just come through, I guess, my sixth recession that I took part in, so to speak. I remember my first one was 1969, and virtually all the other recessions, whenever the recovery happened, the people who went back to work doing essentially the thing that they had done when they were laid off.
Mm-hmm.
That is changing. That is not the case in many, many cases these days. And one of the things that they're coming back to, that they're going to be coming back to, Ken, I think, and that we're all going to have to reconcile, you mentioned health care earlier and benefits. One of the things we're all going to have to reconcile is that we're all going to have to be participants financially and from a stewardship standpoint of our benefits. And what I mean by that is, as an employee, I'm going to have to expect to contribute a little more to my health care than I have done in the past. This health care is getting too expensive, Ken, especially for small business owners to carry that burden all by themselves.
You're right. I mean, that's the major, as I said before, that's the major complaint that we hear from our business clients is the cost, the continuing cost increases in health care insurance. One of the things that that employers can do is make their plans a bit more flexible and in that way, in other words, offer a sort of a cafeteria mm-hmm. concept to their employees, which makes the gives them a choice and makes the plan more valuable to them because they can pick and choose what's really important to them without increasing the cost terribly much.
For example, in my stage of life, you know, I don't need to be paying for maternity benefits.
Right. You know? You never did you?
Well, yeah, actually, there was a time, but I don't now. And so you're exactly right. That's an excellent point. And I'll tell you that we also need to be prepared. The 21st century health care issues are going to be a lot different than they have been. We're all going to have to be more self involved, more involved in our own health care. But we're talking about the actual expense of health care. Can the financial part, but we're also going to have to be better stewards of our health care. By that I mean we're going to have to be, the more involved we are financially, that means the more we're going to have to be better choices. We have to make better choices, better decisions about our health care. And not only health care, but our own health as well.
Well, that's right. And one of the things that can be a big payoff for business is our wellness programs.
Mm-hmm.
They're a real good investment. Helping people take care of themselves to lower their health care costs. And there are various ways of doing that. One way is to look at the history of your employees because each business tends to have a different profile. Find out what their major health problems are and then develop programs to address them.
What I really want to see, though, Ken, is I want to see every single person in the United States, for example, to have their own health care relationship with their own company and to pay for their own health care, maybe with a little help from the company, and they get the benefits. They get the tax-deductible benefits rather than the corporation getting them. I want to see health care become totally personal and totally portable so that people don't have mm-hmm. to say, I've got to stay with this company because that's where my health care is, my child is sick, if I leave this company, then I won't be able to enroll them in the next plan that I go
sort
through.
You're talking about sort of a 401k type concept.
That's exactly right.
Well, we got to get you up on the Hill, Jim, because, you know, Congress is debating those kind of things right now.
I've got my experts already up there. I mean, we've got people who are on my show, and they know how I feel about this. I've been talking about this mm-hmm. for a long time. It's the only way that makes any sense. For example, Ken, if you smoke and I don't, or vice versa, then the non-smoker shouldn't have to pay for the health care problems of the smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got your insurance and I've got mine, then yours costs you $1,000 a year more than mine, then that's your problem because you're the smoker.
I would agree with you on that one.
And so we've got to change those things, Ken. And we've got folks like Karen Kerrigan. We've got folks like Grace Marie Turner who are and the NFIB and other people like that who are up there on Capitol Hill talking about these things. And it's really important that we do that. Ken, let's move on down and talk about turnover. You guys say that turnover can actually become an opportunity for a company. What do you mean?
Well, you're always losing people in your company. You can't help that. There's always turnover for one reason or another. And when there is turnover, and you have to hire a replacement, it becomes an opportunity to get new talent and fresh ideas and skills that your company may lack. And so it's important to keep in touch with the old networks that you have and be ready to recruit through your trade associations and social connections and so on.
Stand by, Ken. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to come back to this part, then we're going to move over and talk a little politics with our good friend Ken Dalecki, Deputy Managing Editor at the Kiplinger Editors. We got more to come after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Yes. inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. There's the challenge.
He's Jim Blassingay, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Ken Dalecki is our guest. He's deputy managing editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Ken, you guys, we're working off of your weekly letter, which is now in its 81st year, folks. They just celebrated their 80th anniversary. And congratulations on that again, Ken. But the Kiplinger letter comes out every week, by mail or by email. It's also available online at their website, Kiplinger.com, K-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R.com. And then you've got three biweekly letters, Ken, the tax letter, the agriculture letter, and the California letter, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. And then also you've got a magazine, too, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
Yeah, and you can subscribe at Kiplinger.com. And, Ken, do you have the phone number handy, the toll-free number handy?
I do. There's an 800 number. 544-0155.
800-544, and the last four are?
0155.
0155. And don't forget to ask for the 30-day free trial on any of those publications. Ken, as we wrap up the employment part of this of our conversation, the main thing to remember is that with us on this opportunity thing, you know, you might want to get a little bit ahead of the curve on this thing and say, okay, look out over your employees and say, okay, where do I need to add some people? Where do I need to beef up some people? And do I need a new component here and a little bit more strength in this area or that area? And think about starting that process right now, because if you wait 2 or 3 years, you might have to pay too much to get that person. So you might want to get thinking about that a little bit.
Yeah, and you might want to and take a look at your employee profile, too. See how many, for example, how many baby boomers you may have on staff.
Right.
Because an awful lot of them are going to be retiring in the near future here.
Unlike and, me, who just can't work enough. I mean, I just can't get enough of
it. Well, when you're having as much fun as you are, who would want to retire?
That's exactly right. Let's move over and talk about California politics.
Oh, wow.
In the land of the fruits and nuts, they've had some big doings out there, haven't they, Ken?
Well, they sure have. We got their new governor in the wings, and meanwhile, the old governor has rushed through some legislation that is going to have a particularly big impact on employers.
Governor Gray Davis, you know, I still want to know, Ken, did his mother name him well? How did she know? Or has he just grown into his name, Gray Davis?
Well, that's an editor comment. I'll take a pass.
Well,
on.
I don't really mean that to be ad hominem, folks. But seriously, it's an interesting thing to observe. But he's been up to some mischief out there, hasn't he?
Like, well, some people see it that way. One of the things they've rushed through is a healthcare mandate on employers, which will require large employers to pay 80% of the cost of health care for their employees. And my understanding is from our California letter editor that that's supposed to kick in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, things could happen between now and then, but I think there's some concern that loading too much on the employers is going to chase more and more of them out of the state of California.
That's what's already been happening. I mean, that's the reason why businesses are closing left and right out there and moving out of state. I mean,
one of the other big things, Jim, that the California employers are facing is workers' compensation.
Oh yeah,
and
it's a
costs
out there,
which are just through the roof, and the unemployment benefits were raised recently also.
Mm-hmm.
So they face some. Those are their major complaints in California from the business side.
Apparently, the governor and the legislature apparently has the idea that businesses have this pot of gold that they can dip into, and it's like this, you know, it's like this unlimited resource that they can dip into and abuse. And I'll tell you what, I think they found out that that dog won't hunt, as they say in Texas, and I'd like to think that the California legislature got a little bit of a wake-up call with this recall. What do you think? You think they did?
I think so, but, you know, they've rushed through some of this stuff, and I think it may set up a real referendum on the state legislature come next November.
Could California be in danger of going Republican?
Well, let's see what Arnold does, you know. Maybe the Terminator will live up to his name.
It'll be interesting. You know, stranger things have happened. Another actor came out of nowhere and made some changes out there. His name was Ronald Reagan. He turned out to be the greatest president of the 20th century in the United States. 20 Tales. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Ken Dalecki, deputy managing editor at the Kiplinger Editors. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Stephen Gaffney is going to be on the show. Arthur Gelb is also going to be on the show. By the way, Arthur Gelb, folks, spent five decades, I should say, with the New York Times. He's written a book called City Room, and I wanted him to join us and talk to us about that, and I'm looking forward to getting him on the show, and we're going to find out what goes on in newspapers. And then after that, we're going to have Don Cooper and Brad Huskin, both of whom live actually very near each other out there in Colorado. And so we're going to get Don and Brad on the show and two separate interviews, by the way. And I'm looking forward to getting them back on. We'll be talking about some prospecting with Don and some salesmanship with Brad. Ken Dalecki is our guest. And Ken, let's move down and talk. He's with Kiplinger Editors, by the way, folks. Ken, the Supreme Court is back at work, and they've decided what they're going to take up. And you guys reported on that this week. One of them is an interesting issue regarding the Americans with Disabilities Act, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very, very important case for employers. Raytheon Company versus Hernandez. Hernandez was a technician with actually Hughes Aircraft or Hughes Missile Systems at the time. This has since been taken over by Raytheon. And he was fired because he came up positive in a drug test. And he went to rehabilitation, said he was rehabilitated, applied for his old job, and was denied reemployment. Mm-hmm. And he has sued over that because he said that he contends that drug addiction is a disability, and he should not be discriminated against. So this is a big case, and a lot of employers are going to keep a close eye on this one.
Well, you know, Ken, I remember when the Americans with Disability Act, the ADA, was first signed into law. And the first comment I ever heard about it was they said that the other name for it was the Lawyer's Retirement Bill.
Yeah.
And that's really, to a large degree, that's what it's become. Although, as you know, the courts have not been as flagrant with this as a lot of people thought they would be.
No, but a lot of employers walk on eggshells when it comes to the ADA, as I'm sure you know.
No question about it.
I know of cases where someone may have a drinking problem or a drug problem, and an employer will find a way to get that person out the door without ever actually confronting that issue for fear of this very kind of thing. Having the employer say, "Well, you know, this is a disability, and you have to treat it, and you can't fire me."
Well, in my opinion, Ken, if you impose this disability on yourself, if you choose to impose it on yourself and those around you, including your employer, and you aren't able to work because of that, then I think you should be subject to losing your job. And if you rehabilitate yourself and you come back and ask for employment again, I think if you can prove that you rehabilitated yourself, you should be able to be considered seriously for being hired back, but not automatically to get your old job back. I think that's wrong, and I hope the Supreme Court finds that way.
One of the problems that the company may have is that apparently they didn't have a written policy on not rehiring of
former employees.
Listen up, folks.
What Ken is talking about right now is very important.
Yeah, that's one way they might have been able to head off this problem. But as you know, Jim, and a lot of times these cases that get up to the Supreme Court turn on a head of a pin, and there may not be a real clear decision on this that clears this whole matter up once and for all. It could simply be referred back to the appellate court for a decision in that they had rejected going into this, and the court may say, "Well, that was where you were wrong. You shouldn't have done that. You should give this full hearing."
Right.
But it'll be really, really closely watched.
Another issue is that
decision probably won't come out until next summer.
Another issue that the Supreme Court has agreed to take up is the Pledge of Allegiance, the inclusion of one nation under God in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes, that's a real hot one as well.
Yeah. Were you surprised that they decided to take that up?
I was, and surprised that Scalia has taken himself out of the case.
He's recused himself. That's a very interesting turn of events. But
he actually has an opinion on the subject, so he can't. He can't say I think Justice O'Connor will probably take a public opinion poll and to find out how to vote on that one.
I see. Well, keep your fingers crossed, folks. I don't know how that was going to turn out. Okay, let's move on down and talk about. You guys reported on asbestos claims. You said that firms are vulnerable to asbestos lawsuits.
As you know, there was an effort to try to set up a trust fund through Congress on this
federal bailout, basically, huh?
Well, you could call it that, I suppose. Help get this thing behind the industry, but we don't think that's going to happen. The chances of that getting through aren't very good.
Yep, and that's going to leave a lot of companies. This asbestos thing, folks, we've been reporting on this. Our friend Bill Brandt's been telling us about this for a while. This is something that's a lot bigger than I thought it was. These asbestos claims that are happening out there. This is a 30-year thing that's been building, and it's going to be interesting to see how all this works out. We'll have to follow that. Got to take a quick break. It's 10 till. When we come back, we got more to come with our good friend Ken Dalecki.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. The small business advocate, Ken Dalecki, is our guest. He's with the Kiplinger Editors, deputy managing editor, actually, over there. And, Ken, let's talk about consumer prices. Are they going up?
Well, they feel like they're going up, don't they, for many of us? And one of the reasons is because of it, services are the cost of services are going up faster than the overall consumer price index, which this year we think will gain only about 2.3%, and next year probably even less, around 2%, which reflects cheaper energy and the impact of low-cost import goods. But as I say, I think a lot of us feel like prices are going up, and that's because we're paying a lot more for services, everything from haircuts to college tuitions and health care, which we talked about before.
Well, one of the things that I think is contributing to this, Ken, is that in the old days, like maybe 5 years ago, in the old days, people made their money on products and they sort of gave away their services. And the services were sort of the value added to help you buy the products. But these days, more and more, it's harder to make as much profit as we need on the products. And since services is becoming more and more a part of our economy, we've got to make services a profit center, and that's one of the reasons I think services are going up.
Well, anybody who brings a car in for repairs to their dealer knows what you're talking about there.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And so in the old days you could charge enough for the oil that you could give away the labor maybe on the oil change, but today you can't do that. And it's. It's a very interesting thing, and we're all going to have to get used to that. Let's move on down and talk about a totally different thing, though, Ken. This is very important, I think. You guys reported this week something that Congress is working on for reservists. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a proposal to extend health care coverage to reservists, regardless of whether they're actually on active duty or not. And this would be, of course, a major benefit and a major incentive to beef up our reserves, which, as you know, are under tremendous stress because of the commitments in both Afghanistan and Iraq. So,
Ken, I wore the uniform for 15 years, and a lot of that time I was a reservist. I was a commander of a unit, mm-hmm. of a company-grade unit for a number of years. And this is very important that the Congress work on this, that the president sign this into law. This is very important that America starts understanding the sacrifice and the commitment and the courage that reservists have to be living their life here in America like all the rest of us, but knowing full well that in any given moment, any 72-hour period, they could be deployed for a year anywhere in the world and maybe have their life, you know, put themselves in harm's way. People who, reservists, National Guard folks, they are the backbone, as you know. They're part of the backbone of our national security, and we need to be paying more attention to them and doing some more things for them.
Well, much more in recent years than you know, in the you mentioned the old days when I was in the service. Reservists generally, at least Army and National Guard reservists, never went anywhere. But
they were weekend warriors, and that's not the case anymore. Ken, let's move over and talk about another thing. The dollar, according to Kiplinger, the dollar is going to continue to weaken next year and beyond. We're going to go through a period of having a weak dollar, Ken?
Yes, we are, and that's mainly because of our twin deficits, our huge budget deficit and our trade deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Those are economic fundamentals that aren't going to change anytime soon.
Isn't that our only defense against globalization and for manufacturers in America is having a weak dollar?
Well, I was going to say a weak always sounds bad, but weak can also have some positives to it when you're mm-hmm. talking about the dollar. It does make our exports cheaper.
Right.
And in fact, one of the things that President Bush is going to be doing on his trip to Asia this in the next few days is to argue for floating the Chinese currency and loosening up the Japanese currency to mm-hmm. weaken them even further against the dollar to improve our trade prospects.
Because their currencies are, at least the Chinese yen is fixed, isn't it?
Yes, it is, fixed to the dollar, and artificially makes their goods cheaper against
right.
ours.
Exactly. Ken, thank you for being here today. Good job today, and we're looking forward to having you on the show next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks.
Nice talking with you.
Ken DeLecky, ladies and gentlemen, with Kiplinger Editors. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and each and every member of our military, reservist or active, wherever you are, standing a post around the world, God bless you. God be with you. We are very proud of you. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.